Are you frustrated trying to plan your goals and make sure your team works effectively, as well as not using spreadsheets to do it? Yeah, it's frustrating. I know, I've been there, but I'm here to help. Culture.com actually has a product service which involves a lasting consultation from yours truly, Stephen. So if you want to support the podcast, because it is ad-free, definitely go to culture.com, book a consultation with myself, and I can help your team perform in a more effective way that also reduces time, effort, and of course, money. We don't want to spend money, do we? We want to save that money. So without further ado, enjoy this episode. Everybody, welcome to the Culture Shock Podcast. My name is Stephen Adeboye, and again, we're doing this by Zoom because COVID and lockdown, but it's all good because I have a special guest with me today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone. Hope everyone's keeping well, and good to meet you, Stephen. My name is Oyelowo Odong. That's my English name, Oyelowo Odong, and I'm originally from Uganda. I'm currently living in Hertfordshire. I work as a job coach, and I'm also the founder of Go Bear Charity.
Awesome, awesome. Just funny thing you mentioned about your name. You have an English name and you have Uganda.
Yes. So when I was born, my original name's Oyela, but then my middle name was Caroline. And just to make it easier for people to be able to pronounce my name when I move somewhere else, such as example UK, then my name became Caroline. But then I was just like, you know what? I was born with the name Oyela, so let's just revert it back to Oyela.
Yeah, definitely. I hear that. I'm the complete reverse. So my name is literally and Stephen as like my birth name, my first name, and my middle name is Ayodeji.
And then,
So I'm Nigerian. But normally, like, my family members would call me Deji, but then workplace, school, friends, Stephen, that's kind of what it is. So,
Yeah, you do sometimes get called your Nigerian name.
Only when I'm in trouble. I mean, 9 times out of 10, Stephen. But I'm away from my parents. So I don't really get called Deji.
So you moved early just to get away from.
Yeah, pretty much. No, but I have a good relationship with both my names. So it's just cool to see you embrace your Ugandan name and use that as something that you're pushing forward, especially with the charity that you built as well. It kind of shows that synergy yourself and what you're doing.
No, definitely. And also, Oyela actually means trouble, but it's also the time frame when I was born. So I was born during the Civil War. So just to highlight what was actually happening, trouble, anarchy, and so forth, then they gave me the name Oyela.
If you don't mind me diving into that a bit more, so there was a civil war in Uganda, and that's when you were born during that time frame. How was that experience for you?
Yeah, so the experience for me, I guess, because it was everyone was in the same situation. So with me, it was just normal way of living. And it was only till I came to this country, and that's when I kind of standing at London airport, that's when I saw the difference in the environment. And I guess that's when the realization with, although I was 7 years old, that's when I kind of realized injustice without even realizing the word, the meaning behind it. So I was kind of thinking, why are people living differently to whereas we were living in Uganda and Gulu? But living in Uganda during the Civil War, obviously there were some peaceful times where you could just play with the kids and so forth. But we never celebrated birthdays because we weren't born in hospital. My community, we were born in the village and everyone was kind of trained as midwives and so forth. So we never really celebrated birthdays. So as a result, I never knew how old I was. Right. So to me, I just saw myself as an adult and just a lot shorter and than other adults. But so often there would be times where there would be the rebel groups, and then whenever that happened, we'll go and run in the forest and hide there for a few months, and we'll survive with whatever food there was in the forest and so forth. So it was, but also we as a community, we were quite strong. So because I guess there was loads of anarchy and middle of the night waking up and so forth. So what happened actually trained us to be mentally strong. And so we found peace in our mindset as opposed. So we would make sure that our mindset was strong. We were focused, we'll support each other if someone was suffering mentally and so forth. So I guess we kind of did meditation without labeling it as meditation.
It's your story, I mean, it's remarkable in comparison to a lot of our stories here, you know, being kids in the UK, knowing you did have to mature very early and recognize yourself and really be self-aware about your surroundings, but also looking after each other, that sense of community. It's very humbling as well. I mean, I'm sure those life lessons as a kid has transferred in terms of who you are right now.
Definitely. I mean, naturally I feel I was quite an old soul. So, I mean, I would see other kids that would socialize with people their age, whereas I was more comfortable socializing with adults and listening to their stories and just their wisdom. I just found that more interesting and fascinating. And anyone who had gray hair, I'll just be like, oh gosh, I need to find out their story and so forth. So I guess coming to this country, when then I was faced with how old I was, first it was a shock because I think, oh my gosh, I'm 7 years old. What? Oh my goodness. And then also just the cultural difference and attending school there, you know, I just found people's mindset was different to mine, the kids. And they would talk about Father Christmas, whereas I was Father Christmas, what? So I remember one stage, some child, well, I say child, but friend of mine, same age as me, they kind of asked, they said, do you believe in Father Christmas? And I said, what's the meaning behind that? And they said, if you're good, you get presents. And I was like, why can't you just be good for the sake of being good for your parents? And so they ended up crying. And but I guess with that, I felt at school, I had to very much, I was quite vocal. So I spoke my views, my world views, short-lived life with the kids and with the teachers. So I very much felt like an outsider looking in.
You know, with that being said, I feel like your experience, you know, coming into the UK and this Western mentality and seeing a complete contrast to what you experienced, even though there was elements of trauma or elements of, you know, discomfort, you came here and realized people are way too comfortable or way too, what's the word, you know, pandered into some sort of
Lesson. I guess it's with here, what I realized, only because of obviously my experience, is that it's very fast paced and it's all very goal oriented. And whereas in Uganda, I guess living in that environment, it taught us to just be patient. And even though during the civil war, my mother, she's very optimistic. She just had the vision that, you know, this is just temporary, but so because it's temporary, we have to protect our mindset and protect our spirit and so forth, so that when the environment does change, we are ready for it. And so I always have that vision when, even especially with COVID now, I think with that experience, it's actually allowed me to be more patient, calmer. And also I've always had the idea that because of what we've experienced, someone's life is always worse off than yours. So be appreciative of what you've got now, the people that you know, or the people that you used to know if they're deceased, and just counting your blessings and so forth.
Yeah, it's weird because everything you said right now can be put into a motivational speech and someone can market it and make it look like they're a guru, but when you live those principles and you can sense like, okay, there is no choice. This is how I have to live because the options, there are none. But I think now, you know, the blessing in disguise and the silver lining with this pandemic is that we're reverting back to that way of thinking, or I hope so, with this gratitude and this understanding that life is precious and we are a sensitive community, and when we are divided, we're not as strong as we are. And, you know, appreciate the little things as well. And it just kind of humbles us all, because like you said, here in the UK and just the Western world, we are very goal orientated. And I think the reason why I do this podcast is to understand, why do people do what they do? Is it because they want to reach a certain goal, or is it because it's something that they need to answer for themselves as to why they want to do something? And when we connected, I got a sense of, you're doing this because of a purpose based on the experience that you had, and you want to better help people, versus I'm just setting up a charity because it adds status to my name.
Definitely. I mean, the charity, even from a younger age, it's just been one of my characters where if someone I felt, I've never really been one who kind of would get angry if someone treated me a certain way, I would kind of let it go over my shoulders. And I mean, over my head, should I say. So then, but then whereas if say my family members or friends or someone who I didn't even know, who I don't really like to use the word vulnerable, because I feel vulnerable people, because of your vulnerability, I feel mentally strong as well. Everything prepares us. At one point, we have always been vulnerable. So I don't like to use the term vulnerable people. And so whenever I saw someone was being mistreated that way because of their status or lack of status, I would feel the need to defend them, even from the age of 4 years old. So I guess in that sense, that trait has kind of followed through and trickled into Go Bear, what we've created. And it's more, and I guess it's because of coming to this country where I saw in some social media or some kind of media platform they would portray, and like I said, vulnerable, even though I don't like the word, portrayed as weaker or lesser than human, such as, I don't know, barely worn clothes, flies on the mouth. And I know that it's obviously used to raise awareness and as well as fundraising, but I feel with human rights, it's also about image rights as well. So growing up, seeing those images, I then felt the need, I then was bombarded with individuals asking me, oh, were you like that when you lived in Uganda? Oh, gosh. Oh, bless you. Sympathy, sympathy. Whereas my mother, she's very, even though we were living in the Civil War, she ran her own business. And so she was very much still supporting the family and the community. And I feel they don't really show that. I mean, especially in the 90s when I came to this country.
Yeah.
So what we want to do is just show empowering images. And I guess the reason why those images are shown is because there's that disconnect. We haven't had that experience. So I'm not even saying it's like naivety or in any way, it's just that disconnect. The same way as I wouldn't be able to tell a great story of the male if I was male, because I'm clearly not male. So I feel so we're trying to form that connection, that experience through the barefoot walk, which it would have happened last year, but because of coronavirus, and looking at the ideology, the phrase of walk a mile in someone's shoes. So then it's looking at it in the literal sense, what if someone doesn't wear shoes, and shoes is a status, so it's quite symbolic. And so walking barefooted, which we used to practice back home, walk barefooted, and that shows your lack of status. But also through that movement, it also connects us with nature and the idea of being grounded, humble. And so when you do take your step, you're walking with confidence, with power, being aware of the moment and your surrounding.
There's so much good gems that you've dropped in terms of what the answer I gave you, you know, of the question I asked you, and you know, learning so much about just the status, but just the abundance of knowing people live this way, but they're okay. They're going to be fine. And those images are never shown to the Western world. Funny enough, maybe because of the storytelling, that if you show discomfort, it makes people feel away, versus showing people smiling. And then I'll admit, they show like a 3-second clip of someone smiling, after they say, we give the money, like the £2, and then it's money after that £2. And I know that's a marketing technique they use to show that story line of bad things happening, things getting better, things going to turn out to be the best they can if you keep donating. Do you feel with the way charities market, do you feel like there needs to be that shift? Because you're trying to change that now, showing positive images.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to shift it because of obviously my own experience, which I feel if I didn't have a strong mindset as a child, it could have actually made subconsciously influence or impacted in my education, because I would have then been thinking, oh, actually, am I actually weak? Am I actually vulnerable living in Uganda? And so forth. So I feel I'm not even changing. I'm just thinking more, making people aware as opposed. And I'm not even saying if it's the right way, wrong way, but I'm just trying to portray it or show it as I would feel would be empowering. And it's only because of my own experience with the very individuals that we're supporting.
Yeah, completely understand that. And I just want to touch on a few aspects. So with GoBear, we're talking about walking a mile in a person's shoes, and you're saying barefoot. And if you look at who we are, we like collect clothes for no reason. Yeah. We have like 10 trainers if we have to, or whatever the case may be. But in a world where shoes might be a luxury, and you know, you might have to go to school and you might have to be presented the same way to get into certain schools. Mm-hmm. Is there an element of your charity trying to sort of support?
So we do the annual barefoot walk because that's a way of creating awareness, and also the fundraising walk. And also, as a result, we actually provide school uniform and shoes to the very individuals, the students in Uganda, starting off Uganda, and hopefully it'll grow with time. And because also in some schools, what we found is that someone with a lack of status, when they try to go to city schools, sometimes they only have the funding for education. However, for things such as exercise books or school uniforms, they haven't got it. And they were actually excluded to attend that school because of that reason. And also by us providing them with shoes, uniform, educational materials, and even food as well, it then allows them to just focus and concentrate on the education element, and also eliminates bullying, and which could be done from students and so forth. So then as a result, their kind of like status is actually disguised because of they're able to also provide no matter what, whatever the status of the other person, they also can, they're actually sitting in the same class as them. So that's what we do. But also we do mentorship as well, which is called Ella's Shoes. And that's kind of the idea of Cinderella. And of course, also the shoe element. But it's also called Ella's Shoes because my name is Yella. And it was because when I came to this country, it was the first time I actually wore the first pair of suitable shoes. And as a result, when I wore it, first it was discomforting and I felt restricted and I felt a bit peculiar because my feet were no longer touching the ground. So there was that disconnect for me because I was used to touching the ground. But also it meant then my status had changed because of the shoes and so forth. And as a result, I was able to go to school. So so it's kind of forming that together, but also trying to tackle the ideas of, say, which with girls, how it's girls usually they get married quite early at an early age and so forth, and because the aspiration or the community, the aspiration is that, you know, the girl, her kind of goal in life is through marriage. And so we want to teach the idea that, okay, Cinderella was saved, but she was not saved by the prince, but whereas she was saved by the fairy godmother, because the fairy godmother gave her the power to kind of self-love and empowered her in some way. And then Ed gave her the shoes, and the symbol is that for her to take courage to own her own path and so forth. So then she was able to change her destiny, I guess.
Yes, it's so poetic when you say it that way. And I never look, it's funny how you say it, because I never looked at it that way.
Yeah.
But no, I haven't watched the remake of Cinderella, the ones that Disney keep pumping up, or the actual Cinderella cartoon. I watched it when I was a kid, but it was always like, you know, damsel in distress, Cinderella, Prince Charming comes along and plays that, and that was kind of what it was.
No.
When you say it that way, actually, no. Fairy Godmother came in, she empowered herself, she looked beautiful. It's only when she was her most confident, when someone saw her confidence.
Yes, definitely.
And when the shoe was up and the dress gown was gone, no one recognized the same woman. Even though we can see the same face, the confidence wasn't there.
Yeah, so definitely.
I feel like with the story I'm trying to tie in to Go Bear, is you're empowering females, women, girls, sorry, to feel comfortable by giving them the access to education, good footwear, to make sure they can empower themselves.
Yeah.
And one question I do want to ask is, how important is it that you want to push education for females so that they can empower themselves in the world that we live in?
I think it's very important, because, I mean, I'm only able to kind of sit and talk with you because my mother, she was, I guess, seen as rebellious in her community. But through her own strong mindset and so forth, she's able to grow four kids, who one of them we've all done quite well, actually, I believe. So we've all been able to be just, and that's just being true to ourselves and so forth. And I've helped a lot of people, either through the charity or just me just simply following my mother's traits and so forth. So I feel when you empower a girl, she can then empower loads of people, and I've empowered boys as well. So it's empowering girls. So Go Bear as a whole is actually supporting kids of all sex and also the community, but Ella Shoes is empowering girls. Because I feel also I wouldn't be sitting speaking to you if there wasn't, because I've got some men in Go Bear who have supported me from, you know, for the whole creation of the charity. If it wasn't for them, it wouldn't have had a charitable status.
Yeah.
So it's empowering girls and educating boys and literally just working together, because if we all have different skills, different journeys, but together we're actually stronger as a whole. So that's pretty much. So I couldn't. And I mean, in fact, Go Bear, we wanted it to do it as a girl empowerment, but I was like, if we just do it as girl empowerment, then what would happen is that if the boys aren't educated, they'll be perceived as how my mother was, that she's rebellious and she's this and other. And that can actually cause more damage than harm, like more damage than good. So we're trying to.
Which is amazing, because you're showing this sort of true equality of access. Not just saying, okay, well, you know, just because a certain gender or a certain type of group of people have this level of access, this person needs to be overpowered. It's like, no, everyone has the same opportunity. The best people come up on top, and those who didn't have access, they'll at least get something out of it, which shows the true equality of what we're trying to strive for as a collective. I think that's very powerful. And then, like you said, your charity, you're not a solopreneur, you're working with other people. So how many people are on your team right now? Or how does it work?
There is.
Don't miss anyone out.
No, I'm like, gosh, they'll be emailing me. But I've got roughly eight. Yeah, eight. So, but then we're growing because of volunteers and so forth.
Yeah.
So we've got Go Bear Uganda, which is the charity coordinator, and then there's also volunteers as well. And then I have myself and another member, as well as the trustees. So yeah, in total 2008, and we were set up last year, so literally just after COVID. So yeah, just after COVID. I was like, woohoo, oh no, COVID. Yeah. So yeah, so it's interesting.
Just for those listeners who are interested in starting a charity, how's that process from beginning to where you are right now?
Oh wow. No, it's very challenging because very worthwhile. So with me to set it up, it took me a year, to just over a year. So we first, obviously, the best thing to do is make sure you have a team and who have loads of different experience, qualities and so forth, and maybe someone who's worked in charity as well, because that's not the do-all. So if you can't find anyone who's worked in charity, someone who's worked in business, or someone who's interested in charity, because you could always offer them training. So how I started it was just literally first researching charities, and then working along with someone in Uganda, who's a very close friend of mine. So then I've got that trusted person. So when we do actually support anyone, so I would recommend wherever you're going to support, find a trusted person. And then also link up with other companies who you think you could probably collaborate with if you can't actually manage to have 8 people or so forth. And definitely write all your missions, visions, and make sure it actually follows all the charitable qualities, which you can find on charity website, gov, and then start constructing a charity, and also look at other charities that are similar to what you want to do. So yeah, but it took us a year and a half and answered, I think, over 90 questions. And 4 hours sleep, or maybe 2 hours sleep or less. So it was challenging, but I think what kind of pushed us through was definitely our experience, because it's not just me who has that experience, there's other people as well in the team, as well as the very individuals that we're supporting. I was like, come on, you know, I've got roof over my head, food, got a good job, so come on, they, you know. And luckily I've been able to escape my past reality, so what's actually stopping you? And that's what kind of there was literally all that, and the very individuals that we're supporting, they kind of pulled us through and made it happen.
You know, just hearing that, like the determination, that grit to sort of go through it and answer like 900 questions and, you know, put the time in. I always ask, you know, people on the podcast, like your mindset and just your goals, or not necessarily goals, but how you manage yourself in terms of pressure and, you know, your work-life balance. How's that for you?
I think from seeing, I guess, my parents having several jobs, and also I started working at a very young age. I think even from Uganda, I was supporting my mother in some way. So I've always been working, I guess. And so naturally the working life, I find work, it's nothing that I would kind of see as a punishment or anything. But also I do try to balance it with my own experience in Uganda, which is like being still and just enjoying the moment. That's also very important, because otherwise you can have burnout. And also I feel if you just keep on being busy, 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 then you almost lose yourself in the busy. And I mean, that kind of happened when I was walking first time, I think, from moving from Uganda to here. Walking the busy street of London, firstly I was like, oh my goodness, like, what is this, tall buildings and cars and shoes making noise and so forth. But I realized that people were just, they seemed to be in a rush, in just a rush, and I was thinking, where are they even going to? And then that's when I kind of started to feel anxious, because it was a different environment. I'm like, whoa. And in that moment I kind of realized, if I don't keep this element of myself back home, I'm going to struggle to keep calm and in any situation. So I've tried subconsciously to keep that. So whenever if I go to an event and I feel as if it's kind of getting busy, I kind of pull myself away from the event. I'm like, okay, it's time for me to go, yeah, and so forth. So I just kind of try to follow my own rhythm, yeah, as opposed to the rhythm of others and so forth, but as well as being supportive of others. So,
I think, just touching on that, like, to me, it almost feels like you're very self-aware about your energy and where it's going, and like, okay, if it needs to be concentrated in the area that's purposeful and that's going to give, right, I'm all in. And if I need to be in this area just to show up, I'm going to be there, but I know my limits, so I'm not going to be here all the time, because that can take away from myself, but can also take away from the things I want to do, which are purposeful. And I think it's that mindset, you know, like you said, you appreciate the little things so much more. That keeps you grounded to know that, okay, the bigger things don't really matter, the ones that are flashy, per se. And I think a lot of people get caught up in the flashiness. It's like, I got to chase that. Not knowing that where you are right now and just taking a deep breath is kind of the best thing you have, because that's yours. Yeah. That's in your control.
Definitely, because, I mean, I think from the other company that they asked me a question, which I didn't even, it wasn't even something that I was kind of aware of, but it's only when they asked, they said, growing up, what did you want to be? And I was like, that never actually, that was nothing in my mind then, what I wanted to be. It was more the type of person I wanted to be. And that was someone who's empathetic, understanding, kind, supportive of others and so forth. So that was always my aspiration. But it was always the idea of supporting others or the community in some way, without knowing whether it was going to be a charity or, I don't know, business, but it's always been just supporting others,
Yeah, and you know, it's a great thing, because I think whilst we say we want to be good and do that, it's very hard to execute. I mean, it's not hard, let's be honest. It's a daily thing you can do, but in such a bigger scheme of things, the way you're doing it, it sounds very like, whoa, how and where and what can I do? And you can get very lazy with that approach. But I think if we were to sort of ground things down, it's like the little things, just even calling up someone to say how you're doing, just, you know, extra service, getting someone a cup of tea, whatever the case may be. Because a lot of people are going through things and we don't know. And there's an other side of the world that we are not cognitive with. We're just saying, okay, it exists, but it's not part of my reality. And the fact that you're bringing this attention to that side of the world and saying, look, yes, there are elements of, you know, challenges, but they're happy as well. And you're showing happier images that show if they can be happy in that circumstance, why can't I? And it's, whilst it sounds a bit selfish, it's reflective to yourself so that you can understand yourself to do better.
I guess it's kind of like recognizing our own privilege. And I mean, when I speak to my friends, they are often going through things, and I always remind them, oh, but what are you grateful for? And then I say, you know, if you can't think of any, I can think of a few for you. For example, the people that you know, having a secure job, or if you haven't got a secure job, it's you've got either qualifications and which would allow you to get something. So, it's for your health, or there's so many, I think, things to be grateful for, and which is easy, I guess, being born in a certain environment to maybe not realize that. So I'm not blaming anyone. It's just if you're in a different environment and you were born and that's all that you know, that's naturally the only way how you're going to think. Even if you're aware, it would be, it's just the conditioning of your mind, I guess.
Yeah. If I was to ask you, it might be a bit of a taboo question, but if the mindset here in the West versus the mindset in like Uganda or just in Africa in general, which one do you prefer, or which one do you feel like has the best benefit in terms of your growth?
I mean, I wouldn't be able to pick that, because because obviously I came here when I was 7 years old. So I feel as if I kind of sit in the middle.
Yeah.
Because people always say, where would you prefer, Uganda or here? And I'm like, I can't really. Or are you more supportive of this gender or that gender? And I'm like, I can't, because I've always had friends of different sex and so forth. So I literally, if it sounds as if I'm like trying to dodge the question, but I literally just sit in the middle.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I mean, there's a hybrid in both experiences because they are who you are.
Definitely, yeah. So I can't deny, obviously, my Ugandan sort of element, but also, which then allowed me to kind of, I guess, like I say, being an outsider looking in, it's allowed me to be the outsider looking in, even if some people can't really understand my mindset and so forth. But yeah, I guess. I wouldn't be the person I am if I obviously I wasn't in living in the UK, and vice versa if I wasn't born in Uganda.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned the word outsider because I know that's been a bit of a key word in this podcast. Mm-hmm. I think when we look outsider, we think of someone who doesn't belong and isn't accepted, and you know, whatever social clique or society, you know, group you think you need to belong to. But the way you said that's outside, it sounds like it's more empowering based on you're able to observe and see.
Yeah, I think
it works. Yeah.
Yeah, I think with me, I kind of just I've always observed people or situations, but without forming a judgment as such. Yeah. So I try to observe to try then to understand. So if, because my mother, she always says, never judge anyone. She's taught us that all the time. Never judge anyone and hold your head up high without looking down on anyone. And if someone's down, always hold your head up high and so forth. So it's like a ripple effect. And so, yeah, so I guess I observe and I try to understand why someone acts that way or behaves that way or thinks that way, and it's got so much to do with to be race, religion, your the environment that you grew up with, the things that you consume, social media, the books that you read, the things that you eat. So I try and do a 360 holistic way where I look at the health, what I eat, what I read, what I consume. And because I think all of that does naturally form how we think and how we behave. And yeah, so I think then as a result, we can't really form a judgment on anyone. And because we probably, if we ate the way we ate, or if we lived the way they lived, or if we were born in a certain environment, the chances are we would think the way they think.
Yeah. And the level of emotional intelligence that you have to recognize that and say, okay, because it's so easy for you to be not self-centered, but in a way think of yourself and say, I wouldn't do that in that situation. Or put yourself and say, oh, I can do better. And it's not about you, it's about you're part of a bigger plan. That's how I look at life. Like, your purpose here is to enjoy life and live life, whatever level of time that you have. But whilst you're here, there's a sense of community that exists. And so feel free to explore that and give as much as you can to it.
Yeah.
Because holding all of it to yourself you're not experiencing the full benefits of why everyone's here at the same time. It's like going to a party and just dancing and drinking by yourself.
Yeah.
There's a group of people socializing. I mean, sure, you don't have to socialize with everyone, but the reason there's a party in the first place is because of bringing people together. So it works in that way. And so just hearing you say all these things just kind of highlights, you know, again, it's a very simple thing to do, and, you know, not to judge and just to not overthink yourself and think less of yourself because you might not fit into a social group or whatever.
But, oh, how, oh, is it, oh gosh.
No,
but, yeah, but with GoBear, so obviously due to COVID, we weren't, you know, the fundraising, we weren't able to do the barefoot walk, but the, you know, people can visit our website. It's www.gobear.org. And with that, there's ways in which you can fundraise, you can donate. So we're also, we support individuals in with, through education as well. So we pay for their school fees. And we also donate school uniform. And so if there's any school companies who provide that, feel free to contact. But in the time being, we're just literally whatever fundraising we have, we actually buy the uniform for the students. And last year we were able to actually visit over 10 schools and speak with the kids, walk with them and see what it is that they wanted. And what stood out was literally for their school fees to be paid. And of course, we then select out of that the top students. And and then as a result, we mentor them to make sure they're always excelling in education with our volunteers that we have and business women as well that have actually collaborated with GoBear. So yeah, so literally it's just fundraising, individuals who can fundraise in some way. And like I said, you know, there's benefits to going barefooted, especially during this time as well. For me, anyway, I practice it because it, you know, it helps me to remain grounded, rooted as well, connected with my past. And you just feel when you put, well, for me, anyway, when I put my foot on the ground, I just feel I'm still at the moment. And then I can feel the energy traveling to my mind and I'm become more aware of myself and others and the whole environment, and as a result it just helps me to keep connected and focused and relaxed and so forth. So it's something that people can even do it at home or in their garden, and yeah, so they can just visit our website.
Awesome. And social media as well, as GoBear as well.
Sorry,
you have a social media presence as well?
Yes, so we've got an Instagram account, which it is gobear.org.
Awesome.
Yeah, gobear.org. So you can visit that. But if you go on the website, our social media is linked on there as well.
Great stuff. And just a final question, like, or a quote or anything, like, do you have anything that you would like to say to our listeners in terms of anything that you feel would benefit them?
I think definitely to just like stay true to yourself, and before you can learn, unlearn. And because we try to kind of better ourselves and learn new skills or new books, but I think we can't, often we can't consume all that because of the things that we've been conditioned to learn in the first place. And also try to remember the, of, you know, the person who you were when you were a child before you were, I don't know, given all kind of informations or taught what you should be. And I think just literally healing and going deeper, really, going into, going within, thinking, what is it that I want? And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, I think the idea of taking shoes off, walking barefoot and doing one step at a time. And
do that as well. Do that.
One step at a time. It's not a marathon. It's a marathon.
Yeah. Our slogan is actually a step closer.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, a step closer. So, a step closer could be a step closer to your goals, a step closer to being your true self. And so, and it's a step closer. It's like the small things would amount to the big thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, nothing ever happens overnight. And
No, it's literally just you have to keep on going. And it's being aware of all the small things that you do. For example, when you wake up, how do you wake up? Do you wake up happy and sad? Then looking at why you wake up sad. And because sadness doesn't come also overnight, it's just literally patterns and the small things that led you to feeling that way.
Yeah. And I think during this time, it's good just to remind yourself, check yourself to...
Yeah, definitely.
To be that kind of person that wakes up and says, you know, there is an optimistic viewpoint. And whilst I can't see it, there's a little bit of faith that exists where if I take one step at a time to do the things that I enjoy, like at least start with that.
Yeah.
Even if it's just your favorite cup of coffee in the morning. And if the luxury of us having coffee and I have a coffee machine, I'm like, that makes me happy now.
I know. We're used to go in the forest and have to like grind it. It'll take days to make coffee. So especially like when I came to this country and there was like running water in the taps, because we used to walk to fetch water, and all of a sudden we've got fresh water running in our building. That was fascinating in itself. So
I think if anything, just appreciate the small things day by day.
Definitely.
Really, the bigger things and the way the world works, and hopefully things get better, that will make a lot of things that we do later on a lot more sweeter.
So, definitely.
So, I mean, like I said, I know where to find you guys. I'm definitely going to support in my way.
Oh, thank you.
Because I think it's such a great cause, and just the images, the projection of not stereotyping Uganda, not stereotyping Africa as a whole, to look like they're underprivileged, but more to do with celebrating the good work that you're doing to empower people, empower children. It's a good place to sort of start from in terms of at least doing the research, but then donating as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm definitely following your podcast. And yeah, it's absolutely amazing. So I'm happy that we connected. And
I'm really happy we made it happen.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome.
All right.
Awesome. Well, thanks everyone for listening and take care.
Oh, thank you. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Hey podcast listeners, thanks for listening, and thanks for my special guest, and thanks for clicking that play button. But I need you to do four things for me. I want you to like, comment, subscribe, and share this content. It will help tremendously with the growth of this podcast, and I'm producing more content than ever. So I want you guys to be the first to know, and I want others to know as well. So do those four things for me and help this podcast grow to a bigger platform. Thanks for listening.